With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the TWS Sports Podcast. The question is darts really a sport?
It was the worst tackle I've ever seen.
Fair play to Joe Root. It was a great knock.
There's nothing like a good derby match.
It was easily the best 7-iron I've ever hit.
Right, come on lads, let's crack on.
Hello and welcome to the TWS Sports Podcast with me, Adam Millerchip. I'm joined as always by my colleague and good friend, Nigel. Hi Nigel, how are you today?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you very much, Adam. How yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. And we're also joined by our other two co-hosts, Tom and Thomas, who are students at Technical Woods Special School in Wolverhampton. So Technical Woods School is a school for children and young adults with autism, and we've set up this podcast to provide our pupils with a fantastic opportunity to develop a range of skills whilst also interviewing top sportsmen and women from a variety of different sports. How are you, boys?
Good, thanks. Yeah.
Fine. Good. Fine. Thank you.
Joining us today on the TWS Sports Podcast, we have a three-time Speedway world champion and the most successful British rider of all time. It's the one and only Ty Wufferdon. Hi, Ty. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're doing good. Thank you.
Ty, what have you been up to this week?
This week, well, I've got a bit of a shoulder injury that I'm carrying, so I've been trying to get that right. Last Friday, I got back on the bike to see if it was okay to, and like strong enough to hold on, and it was. So I raced at the weekend, which was probably the hardest meeting to come back to. You know, it was against the top team in the league, and we beat them, which was good. But yeah, it was a little bit challenging to hold on at some points, but I got the job done, so it was okay.
How did you do that, Ty? Was that a Speedway injury?
Yeah, it was. I crashed a month ago. Just really silly crash going into the first corner. The guy on the outside of me, his foot got tangled up on my bike, and as we turned into the corner, because I was dragging him like essentially down the track, it pulled my handlebars from under me, and I buried my shoulder onto the concrete on the side of the track. So it was quite a hard hit, and yeah, it's a 3-month injury. So to come back after a month, I'm pretty happy with that.
Quite a long list of injuries, haven't you, Ty? I've been watching the Speedway on YouTube, and it doesn't look the safest of sports.
No, it's not. I think, you know, well, all motorsport, you know, bike athletes say with age comes a cage. So when you get to a certain age and you stop bouncing, then you get into a car with four wheels that has a cage around you. So it is what it is, you know, it's a part of the job.
And then they make it even harder by taking away the brakes and the gears, I guess.
Yeah, they're quite a straightforward bike. They're, you know, no brakes, no gears, just let the clutch out, twist and go, and they accelerate faster than an F1 car. So they're pretty quick.
Did you have any heroes when you were growing up?
I did. I used to watch a lot of freestyle motocross, so like Brian Deegan, Jeremy Stenberg, like a couple of the US guys. But from my sport, no, I never was really interested in it. I never followed it. I just rode at the weekend because that's kind of something that we did as a family. And then I was obviously getting faster and faster. So then it was like, okay, you know, maybe we should go to Europe and see if you can make a job out of it. But yeah, from my sport, no, but from other sports, yes.
When you were a child, did you always wanted to ride bikes?
Yeah, yeah. There's a picture of me on a bike, you know, with my dad, with me sat on the front from probably when I was about like 1.5, 2 years old. So it's kind of all I've known. There's always been bikes in my life at all points, whether it was motocross, speedway, or I had a stand-up jet ski, which is like riding a motorbike on the water. So that's really cool. And yeah, it's just been a part of the whole process.
You started injuring yourself at quite an early age, Ty. I was reading a bit of your autobiography and you had a bit of an accident when you were, was it 13 with your bike?
Yeah. So like that middle finger there, I don't know if you can see it, but it's a little bit shorter than that one. Yeah. So I was just riding to school and I put a new chain on my push bike. And as I stopped pedaling and I just leaned down to feel if the tension was okay. I knew there was a pole coming up. So I've done this, like, you know, the poles in the middle of the paths. I don't know if they actually have them in England. I don't think they do. Anyway, in Australia, they have poles in the middle to separate them so that you keep, like, you know, keep the kind of traffic on the right side of the path. And I knew there was one coming. So I just looked up to see how far it was away. And as I looked up, I pedaled and my finger was still on the chain to feel the tensioner. So it kind of went in the sprocket and chopped it off. And I rode to school with it like that. And there was blood all down my arm and kind of like
my finger. You carried on riding to school?
Yeah, I went to school, yeah. And went straight to the deputy's office and she called my parents and an ambulance and they took me to hospital. Then they took me to one hospital and it was the wrong hospital. I needed to go to the plastic surgery hospital and sit in the city.
Oh, so you quite used to hospital visits then when you started your speedway career?
Yeah, I would dread to think how many times I've actually been. I must have broken over 20 bones on my right shoulder ligament. Now I've done my left shoulder ligament. Yeah, scaphoid, hand, feet, leg, both bones in the bottom of my right leg. Arms 4 times. Collarbones, I've done like 7.
When you're racing, Ty, is that ever in the back of your mind?
You just, like, I don't know. It's a part of our job, right? So, like, you know, same for somebody that irons clothes for a living, they're going to get burnt at some point. So, you know.
Exactly the same.
It is. It's the same. It's what we do, you know. And, you know, there's risks with everything you do. You jump in your car, you know, and you drive down the road. That's a risk. You know, you don't drive down the road and think, oh, my God, someone's going to crash into me the whole time you're driving to work, because you just don't. So it's the same. It's just what we do.
You describe yourself in your autobiography as focused, loving, crazy, and loyal. Do these words still best describe you?
Yeah, definitely. My whole life is based around my family and, you know, being together and loving each other. And, you know, when I race my bike, that's me going to work and providing for my family. But then there's the other side of, like, I like to have fun. I like to skydive. I like to, you know, do all this crazy stuff. I love riding motocross. A lot of extreme sports stuff. And obviously what I do for a living is an extreme sport.
So you've raced in a number of different countries, such as Australia, England, Sweden, and Poland. How does the speedway differ from each country?
How does it differ in each country? It's a tough question. Obviously each country differs from a, like, perspective of when you land in that country, there's a different vibe. You know, Poland has a different vibe to England. They speak Polish here. They speak Swedish here. They speak English there. So, like, you know, everything's different. And then the way the clubs are run is also different. So in Poland, speedway is like one of the top sports over here, like kind of football is in the UK. So here it's like purpose-built stadiums just for speedway, like, you know, 20,000 people every weekend. So the atmosphere is really, like, different and crazy. The tracks are a lot bigger. They use a different material on the track. And then you go to Sweden and it's more of like a family kind of, like, club that, like, you know, everyone's friends and they all work there and the money goes back into the pot and then they spend it on the track and all that sort of stuff. And again, the material is different there and the weather's different. So they have a lot more trees, there's a lot more oxygen, and, you know, everything just varies from each country, you know. And it's a pleasure to be able to travel around all these countries and do something that I love. You know, I'm so privileged.
So with all those different materials being used on the different tracks, did that mean that some countries the tracks are harder to ride on than others?
England is actually probably the hardest tracks to ride. They're a lot more smaller because the majority of tracks are built on the inside of a Greyhound stadium. So, like, for instance, at Wolves, you know, you've got the Greyhound track and that's kind of their main revenue. And then there's the speedway there also, but they have to build the track on the inside of the speedway track. So a lot of the tracks in the UK are quite small and technical and really tricky to ride, and they use shale and clay and probably a bit of sand as well. But when they get wet, or, you know, there's a few riders turn in the same spot, you know, you get little holes, and, you know, it might peel away a hole, but there's a bit, a layer of clay. So as you, as your back wheel hits that, it just launches you into the corner. Whereas in Poland, you know, bigger tracks, faster, a lot harder, more of like a blue granite kind of sandy tracks. When I say sandy, I'm only talking like a tiny little amount on the surface. Yeah. But we have bikes that are 500cc with no brakes, and, you know, when you, when the wheel's spinning through that little bit of sand, it's enough to you know, for things to happen. So
you said you weren't that interested in speedway when you were first growing up. So when did you start becoming more interested in it? When did you start actually start riding speedway?
Yeah, that's a good one.
I started when I was 12. That was the first time I got a speedway bike, and then I did all the local stuff, so just racing at the weekends. We never went, we never left Western Australia. We just kind of stayed on our side because it's such a long way to anywhere else, and we just did our own thing there. And then I jumped when I was like, when I'd grown a little bit more, I think when I was 15, I went onto a bigger bike, and I was riding that around. And, you know, there was a few people that kind of have been around the sport a long time, and they're going, oh, you know, he looks really good, he's got a good style, he's going real quick, and he's only been on it, you know, a week. And they say to my dad, Rob, you should think about taking him to Europe and seeing how he goes over there. And then I think I came out when I was like 15 and three quarters or something, or, you know, whatever, or maybe I was 15 and a half, and was kind of riding all the tracks in the UK and kind of showing people who I am, and, you know, get, just get my name out there a little bit. And then I would say probably the week before I left to come to England was when I started to get interested in it.
Your dad encouraged you to move to Europe to compete. How difficult a decision was this?
Yeah, it was, for me, it was obviously it was different from my parents to me. So my parents, they kind of like put their lives on hold. My dad was running a car yard, and my mum was a beauty technician. So they kind of had to just like shut up shop and then go to Europe with me. Okay. And then for me, I was like, I was really young, and, you know, I was partying with my friends and having a good time, and we was going surfing and riding push bikes and, you know, just not a care in the world, which is normal at that age. And then it was like, okay, I need to make this decision if I want to leave all my friends behind and all this fun stuff that I do to go and ride my motorbike, which I just did at the weekends. And I had to think about that and make that decision. But my parents were behind me, you know, regardless whether I wanted to do it or not. So they just needed an answer. And then a week before we left, I broke my leg. so there was a bit of a hard conversation with my especially with my dad, because I didn't really understand, you know, I didn't have a job, so I didn't know what it was like to have to pack up your life and move to another country. And we kind of had to have that conversation, you know, if I was interested in it and if I really wanted to do it, or if I, you know, just wanted to keep doing what I was doing. So
and then you just went from strength to strength.
The first, I think, 3 years I was here was to winning my world title, really, was just soared, you know. Now I'm just at that level, and as long as I keep preparing myself, you know, right, physically, mentally, nutritionally, there's no reason why I can't stay there until I'm sick of it.
When you're riding, do you have to sort of prepare yourself physically? You know, do you have to do like a stretching routine or anything like that before you ride? Or
I don't. I know a lot of athletes do. I'm super cruisy with everything. Like, my routine is different every time. I just, you know, I just kind of like go with the flow. I don't put like one glove on before the other. I just, whatever's there, you know, I don't listen to any specific music. I just, whatever's on the PA system, I'll sing along to that, you know, whether it's something modern like Justin Bieber or whether it's, you know, a Queen track or something, it really does not bother me. I just enjoy riding my bike, and I like to kind of, I don't want to focus on all that other stuff, because I like to be in the moment and enjoy what's going on around, and, you know, seeing, you know, the atmosphere and all that sort of stuff, hearing it. So yeah, it's nice to just be in the moment.
If you had to pick one, which is your favorite track to ride on and why?
Anywhere or in England or?
Yeah, it can be anywhere, like a foreign country or any track. It doesn't matter.
Anywhere. I would probably say Torren, the last Grand Prix that we go to. It's a really nice shaped track, and it's just really enjoyable to ride. But the problem is everyone's good around there, so it makes it really hard. I think everyone enjoys going there. But I would my favourite track in England for sure is Wolves and Kings Lynn. Yeah, I spent a lot of time at Wolverhampton and I know the track inside out. Yeah, it's a real technical, tricky track. And when you've got it dialed in, it's such a nice feeling. And then Kings Lynn's, again, it's a really nice shape. And the last time I rode there, it was quite a bit of dirt on it. And that kind of feeling of you're in control, but you're nearly out of control. Like you're right on the edge of like losing control, but you're in control. I love that feeling. So any track that gives me that.
Any track where there's a real atmosphere that you almost feel like you're coming home. You can really feel the crowd behind you.
Not really behind me, but there's a place called Zelina Gora. We're racing there next week. And their fans are absolutely like so special. But the British GP, the British Grand Prix at Cardiff. For me, that's a whole nother level. That from an atmosphere point of view, that just blows every other event out of the water. But then if you go to like a league match, like when we race every Sunday in Poland, so this weekend we're going to Zelina Gora and you know, them fans just sing and they're loud and they, you know, they're banging on the big drums and it's a cool atmosphere.
Imagine 20,000 people, they must make some noise.
Yeah, it's crazy. And they, you know, flags and flares and smoke things and it's it's something different. It's great.
I just want to come on to tie your world championship. So you've won 3 world championships. Can you explain to us and try and put it into perspective? What's that like to win 3? What was it like to win your first, especially?
Yeah, the first was really special because, you know, you think as you're growing up, you know, racing and then, you know, I went to Europe. I kind of was like making the progress and I was like, well, I could probably get good enough to be world champion. And then when you do it and achieve it, you know, that's something special. They was all special in their each way. The first one, I think nothing will be able to match that emotionally. 2015 was a different year. I was, you know, 2 steps above everybody else when we finished the season. And, you know, I was passing guys missing the start, coming from last to first in a lot of my races. And that was super special. I had a really fast engine that year from Peter Johns. And that engine won me that world title. But it was, you know, it was kind of like business as usual. Like, you know, the first one was special and we've achieved it. But then, you know, then you don't want to be that one, you know, kind of kid that's only won it once, so you want to win it again. And then 15, you know, backed it up and it's like, you know, I'm good enough to do this. And then 2018 was quite a stressful one. You know, Smarslik was there, you know, towards the end of the season, and you know you're good enough, but then, you know, you're pushing as hard as you can, you're pushing hard, then you have a crash, and then it's like, okay, and then he'll win a race, and then, you know, Lindgren's coming, and then someone else is coming, Doyley's there, and you're all taking points off each other. So, but I went into the last round with a 10-point lead, and I won the last Grand Prix. I won the championship, then I won the last Grand Prix, and then the next day I rode in the Thomas Gollob meeting at Bydgoszcz and won that as well. So that weekend was the best weekend of my career, winning my third world title, winning the Grand Prix just after I won my world title, and then finishing with the 10-point lead that I started with. And I crashed that night as well. So it was just a hectic weekend. It was great.
Can you win another world championship?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. We try every year. Every year presents different challenges. And, you know, we just have to adapt as the years go on and things develop and engines change, and tracks change. And, you know, the weather conditions have been really cold this year so far. So, yeah, 100%. I still love it. The fire's still lit in the belly. So. Yeah, there's definitely more to be won.
The world record for the number of world titles, is it 7 than individuals? 6. Is it 6?
6.
So is it your aim to get 7?
It is. That's the challenge. A lot of people say, oh, how can you say that? Like, even guys that have won world titles, oh, you can't put a number on it. And it's like, well, you know, you have to set a goal. If there's a goal there, then something to work towards.
Yeah.
If you haven't got that goal of being the greatest of all time, then what are you trying to achieve? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you're at the moment, is it like you're the most successful British rider at the moment?
Yeah. Yeah. So I've won 3. There's like 2 guys that have won 6. And I think there's 2 guys that have maybe won 4. And then I don't know how many guys have won 3. But yeah, I'm up there in the top 10 greatest of all time, I would say. Maybe even the top 5. I don't know. But yeah, there's still a long way to go. Greg Hancock's only retired a year ago now. And I think he's got 4. And he retired, he must have been like, I don't know, 43, 44 maybe or something when he retired. I'm not sure exactly. And I'm only 30, so I've got like another, 10, 12 years.
ever been tempted to finish speedway and go to a different sport? Or when you finish, do finish speedway, are you going to go into any other motorbikes or cars?
I don't know. Like in the future, I haven't got anything planned. But like, when was it? 2015. I was thinking about, you know, I was just beating everyone, and it was really easy. And I was enjoying winning, but I wasn't enjoying the challenge, because, you know, I was winning a lot of the time quite easily. And I actually, you know, I did a couple of track days, and I was, you know, I spoke to my trainer, I spoke to my wife, and I was like, you know, maybe I'll go road racing next year. And then there was like, oh, if you go road racing, you're not just going to go like straight into the top. You've got to start your way from the bottom and kind of like work your way up again. And I was like, do I really want to like do all the English scene and then try to get a world superbike spot or, you know, a Moto2 spot? And then I was like, ah, I'm good at speedway. I'll stick with that.
Fair play. And as you say, there's still plenty more world champions to win yet.
Exactly. And that's why the goal of 7 came about, because, you know, I have to have that, I have to have something to aim for.
Ty, we have a question from a listener who's got in touch with the podcast. And if anyone else is listening who wants to get in touch with us and has a question for a guest or a story, then please email twssportspodcast@hotmail.com.
Hello, Ty. Do you think you will ever return to race in the British Speedway League in the near future? And that's a question from Ellis. Thank you.
Never say never. At the moment, I'm like reducing my calendar as much as I can so I can, you know, focus more on my nutrition and my training and spend more time with my family. So in the near future, it's a no, but it doesn't mean it's completely ruled out, because, you know, one day I might have had enough of racing in Poland and I want to do Sweden and England. But, you know, until that time presents itself, and, you know, I don't know what I'll be doing.
Ty, we've got a quiz for you now, just a bit of a fun quiz, and it's to do with speed, because obviously speedway is all about speed and all the rest of it. So question number one.
Yeah. Who would win a race between a kangaroo and a hare?
Oh, I reckon a hare. It's going to be a hare, right? Surely.
It, do you know the answer? Hares can be 50 miles per hour, believe it or not.
Yeah, I've seen a hare run pretty quick when I've drove, you know, when it's come out across in front of me in the car, and they do move.
Yeah. Question two, Tom.
Okay. Now, who would win a race between a tiger and a dolphin?
Tiger and a dolphin. I reckon a dolphin would be quicker than a tiger. But it depends if it's in water or if it's on land, right?
That's a very good point. We're going to imagine the lanes are, there's one land bit and there's one water bit.
I'll go dolphin.
It's a trick question. They both reach speeds of 40 miles per hour, so it'd be a dead heat. It'd be a draw.
Really?
Yeah. And as if people like me were to put a shark with the dolphin, I'm sure they would go even faster along with the leopards.
That's a good idea, Tom.
Fair play. Give the dolphin some incentive to go a bit quicker.
Indeed. Ty, you're in a race. You've got your speedway bike. You're up against a cheetah. Who's going to win that race?
Me.
I think you're correct, Ty. I think a speedway bike reaches at 80 mile an hour and the top speed of a cheetah is 70 mile an hour. So yeah, you would be close, but you'd just beat them.
Yeah, but I don't think it'd catch me at the start, because we accelerate faster than a Formula One car. So,
well, do you know what? I've looked up how fast cheetahs can accelerate, and they can reach 0-60 in just under 3 seconds, which I think is pretty similar. So it'd be quite close, in fairness.
Yeah, right. That's mad. I still believe in myself to beat it, so.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You have a lot of tattoos. Which tattoo means the most to you?
My dad passed away in 2010, and before he passed away, he wrote a letter for me, and I have that letter tattooed on my back with a portrait of him on the right-hand side. So, yeah, that's probably the most meaningful one that I've got. I think if you go on, if you search Ty Wolfenden back tattoo or something on Google, it'll probably come up. We've done a few magazines, have done pieces on it and that. So if you want to have a look at it, read the letter.
Have you got plans for any more tattoos coming up? Or I see you're pretty covered.
Oh, man, they hurt too much. I don't have to prove anything to anyone. I'm happy with what I've got. I would like to get some more, fill in a few blank spaces, but I just can't hack the pain. I haven't got time for it.
Mentioned your dad there. Ty, and there's a speedway race named after your dad in Perth. Did you go about setting that up?
I didn't actually. My mum might have had a little bit to do with it, but basically, we used to race at a track called Bribber Lake, which was like 40 minutes south. and that closed down because they was, you know, using the land for something else. And then there was no speedway track for the kids. So all the dads got together and they built this track, and, you know, it was just a big bit of bushland and they flattened it all. And on weekends, every weekend, all the dads came down and with the families and the kids, and we used to, you know, run around and do jobs. And anyway, we built this really cool speedway track, and it's still there now. And all the kids race there. And I raced there a couple of years ago when I was back home. And now they've built another big track as well. Yeah. So they've got the best of both worlds there now. And, a really good platform for the youngsters coming through. And yeah, every year it's the Rob Wolfenden Classic. So on the little track, because that's the one that they all built and got going. So it's yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's fantastic.
His name lives on.
You mentioned he had many injuries before, but what do you say is the worst injury you ever had?
That is a really good question. The worst I've ever had. It depends on how you look at it. There's a little bone just in here in my hand, which I broke. And yeah, this one. And it has a screw in it, and it's a scaphoid, and it has really low blood circulation. And I broke this in 2012, maybe. And I still have problems with it now, you know, especially when it's cold, or like aches when it's cold. Yeah. And I think the screw just sticks out a tiny little bit and it catches my wrist. So every time I roll my wrist around, it clicks. There's the screw touching something. But then, you know, 2 years ago, I broke my back. So that was quite a big one. I was out for 2 months, bit of stressful time, you know, with all the stuff that kind of comes with breaking your back. I would say that them two are probably the worst ones. I've been pretty lucky, you know, I haven't broke my femurs. They're a really bad injury that take a real long time to get right. So touch wood.
Do you have any other extreme sport hobbies?
Yeah, I did my skydiving course, it must have been 2 years ago now, but I haven't jumped for a while. So when the weather gets a bit warmer, for sure, jump out of the plane a few more times. You know, I need to get some more jumps under my belt to before I can fly in a wingsuit. And then I want to do some base jumping off some cliffs. But again, you have to have more time free falling out of planes before you can jump off cliffs and be safe.
What about Ty? Do you ever have a hobby of just sitting down in a by a pool, reading a book, or are they all extreme?
I can't do it. The worst thing for me is like being injured and having to like rest. That absolutely breaks me. Like pretty much from the morning until, you know, the girls are asleep, I'm flat out, either in the house helping Faye, or I'll, you know, jump outside for half an hour and do something outside, or yeah, I'm full gas all the time.
Is what you want to do when you stop racing?
I know that, you know, me and the family will go back to Australia, but as far as what I want to do when I stop racing, I don't know. I don't know where my future will take me, you know, whether that's from an investment point of view. I know it'll be in Australia. I know that we're going to go back there, and we have a house there, and we travel there, and we spend time there. But yeah, as far as when I finish racing, like what the next chapter of my life will be, I guess it depends on where the world's going. And, you know, a lot of people are vlogging now and they're making a living off YouTube and all that sort of stuff. And I think in the next, you know, if I ride speedway for another 10 years down the line, there'll be some other sort of TikTok sting or, you know, social media avenue that will be booming. And, you know, whether I focus on one for me or whether it's for the girls so that the girls can grow up and never have to work a day in their life, then, you know, I don't know. But we'll just have to wait and see what the future has told.
I read somewhere that you were interested in opening up a children's petting zoo.
Yeah, that was, well, we got a farm in England. It's got 24 acres, 17 stables. We rented the stables out since we've had it to one family, which is pretty crazy because, you know, it's good income and not much hassle. But we went to a petting zoo and the kids had so much fun. And I was kind of like, I drew out the farm and I did this whole map of, you know, you'd come down here and you'd go on the lake in a boat and feed the koi and, you know, go to this bit and all the hamsters and this one. And like, I designed it all. And Faye was like, we're not doing it. We go to Australia for four months a year. And who's going to look after it when we're not there? And I have all these crazy ideas.
Just mentioned your daughters there, Ty. I've recently become a father to a daughter. I was wondering if you got any advice.
Just enjoy the time. you know, they grow up so quick. Like, it only seems like yesterday Riley was born and now she's 3.5. And like I said before, I've reduced my calendar to spend more time with them, you know, riding speedway professionally in Sweden, Poland and England. You know, I was only home for Riley's like first year for maybe 2, maximum 3 days a week during the season. So I missed a lot of stuff, but now Callie's here and I've got a lesser calendar, I'm seeing a lot more. So that's really nice. Yeah, just help your wife. That's it. Help your wife and spend time with the kids.
If you could have dinner with 3 people, who would they be and why?
I'd say Richard Branson for one.
Okay.
No, I'd swap Richard Branson. Elon Musk. I'd like to have dinner with Elon Musk just to understand how his head works, because he is such a crazy person. Like, the stuff that he can do and all that sort of stuff is just mind-blowing. And then probably someone from the past, maybe like Muhammad Ali. It'd be nice to sit down and have a chat with him and hear his stories and what he went through growing up in that era where, you know, like people was kind of like looked down on, and he kind of like changed that whole perspective and was a massive role model for people. And then I'd pick someone in the future, because it'd be nice to go to the future or sit down with somebody that lives maybe, you know, 30 or 40 years in the future, and then ask them questions about what's happened to the world in the next 40 years and where the world's going, you know, with pollution and technology and space travel and all that sort of stuff. So
good. We've asked that question a few times. We've never had somebody in the future. So yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah.
I think if you go present, future and past, you gotta, you know, the conversations that will be had around that table would be pretty insane.
It would be, definitely.
I think Elon Musk had a lot to say to the person to the future, wouldn't he? I'll be asking Elon Musk how you pronounce his kid's name.
I didn't know he had a kid. I didn't know he had time to have a kid.
Yeah, he's got a kid and he's given it the craziest name. That's it's just a load of symbols that no one knows how to pronounce. So yeah,
he does.
It's worth Googling.
He does. I'll Google it straight after. I'll get straight on it.
Thank you so much, Ty, for taking the time to chat with us today. It means so much to us as a school to be able to have the opportunity to speak with you. We want to wish you all the best for the season, and let's hope you make it World Championship number 4 soon.
So then, boys, our next podcast. Any ideas who's coming up?
Yeah, so we have another great guest coming up. So he played in the 1993 Ryder Cup at the Belfry. He was the vice captain at the 2006 Ryder Cup at the K Club, and he has won 3 European Tour titles. We'll be joined by golfer Peter Baker.
Peter Baker? I remember watching him in the late 80s. I wonder if he'll be able to give me any tips about my golf game.
It will take more than a few tips from Peter to improve your golf, Nigel.
Our TWS Sports podcast will be released every Tuesday, so make sure you subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. The TWS Sports podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many other podcast streaming apps. So thank you so much for joining us today, Ty, and thanks, lads, and see you next week.
Cheers, guys.
See
you.
Bye-bye.
Here we go.
Hi, it's ex-England rugby player Jamie Noon here. Make sure you subscribe to the TWS Sports podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and other podcast apps.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.